Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Before I begin, I know I'm not the first, I won't be the last, but I'd like to extend a thank you to everyone for helping out with the gathering and making it possible. The minor prophets aren't exactly a strong point of mine, so I've really enjoyed all the talks and discussion. So, as the schedule says, I have the duty of giving the opening remarks on Zephaniah. Thinking about this reminds me of last year when I believe his brother Andy Garvey said that his talk was kind of like the appetizer before the meal, and I kind of like to think of my talk as sort of a smaller version of that, so I'm looking forward to hearing comments after I'm finished speaking. It was just a few months ago that Brother Mark asked me if I would do these opening remarks when I was in school. After agreeing to it, he soon sent me an email giving an outline, or suggested guideline for those of us giving talks. And a couple of those points had to do with time frame and political atmosphere. Zephaniah isn't exactly one of my strong points, so I decided to look up some things on the internet and found out that, like a number of these minor prophets, if not all of them, we don't know a whole lot about them, personally. Let's see. So in the first chapter, we're told, "The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Judah." In the days of Josiah, the king of Ammon, king of Judah. So we get a little history, kind of like as is usual. I'm not knowledgeable to know whether or not this is accurate, but it's been seeing as Zephaniah was a descendant of Hizkiah, it's been suggested that this might be King Hezekiah, whom we've read about, which would make him of royal blood and descent. There was one place that mentioned being of royal descent would have given Zephaniah ready access to King Josiah, in whose time he was prophesying. And we know more about Josiah's reign in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. And with the fact that Zephaniah prophesied during the reign of Josiah, we find that his ministry overlapped with Jeremiah's, as we're told in Jeremiah 1, verses 1 through 2, which says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign." So that was a little bit of basic background information I found on Zephaniah. The three chapters, however, have considerably more for us to consider, even though relatively short. Like much of the Bible, we're told, if we do well, love and serve Yahweh, he will prosper us, take care of us, and reward us. And in contrast, if we disobey him, he will punish and destroy us, as we have been reading this week. In the days of his ministry, we're told that in these chapters that people served idols and filled their masters' houses with violence and deceit. They said in their hearts that the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. They reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. And we continue to read, "The prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law." In all, I think the last verse of chapter 2 sums it up a bit, saying, "This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down? And everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand." As mentioned before, the results of these things are clearly stated. Chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 say, "That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as the dust, and their flesh as the dung. neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." Again in chapter 2, verse 9, "Therefore as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them." Most if not all of us will recall the account of Sodom and Gomorrah and its destruction with fire and brimstone because of all their iniquity. There are a few more verses to indicate the judgment and fierce anger of the Lord upon the nations, but generally speaking, we get the picture. Yahweh's will be done, and destruction will be complete and final. And this last part of my opening remarks might sort of ramble a little bit, not focus perfectly on Zephaniah, but it's another one of the things in the guidelines sent out by Brother Mark. And he said, you know, point out maybe some exhortation we can get from it, things we can learn. So these were some things that came to my mind. These words of Zephaniah were directed at the people in the time of Josiah's reign, but they also clearly have a dual application to us as well. I think it's important to realize that our day and age is not much different than biblical times. Yes, this is modern time with cars and technology and everything else, and the world may be more wicked perhaps, but essentially human nature is the same throughout all the ages, and we see the same things happening now as nations and people were judged for back then. To be fair, if the Lord Jesus Christ returns in our time, which it appears is very likely, we'll see a much greater and final purging of the evil of the earth with the establishment of the kingdom and fulfillment of God's plan. But as mentioned, the temptations and evil of the earth have been and will remain the same until then. So what do we take from all this? Once again, if we serve Yahweh, we have nothing to worry about. It's something easier said than done a lot of the time, but it's all about doing our best and helping each other along the way. If we want to ignore God and go enjoy the pleasures of the world, the door is wide open. We can go and try to fill our heart's content, but the key word in that is try. We actually can't, because like Solomon said, all is vanity. As we see in Zephaniah's prophecy, it will lead to our destruction, and also in the other prophecies that we have looked at this week. And as we grow older, we are presented with the Bible. We're told in it what we are and what we're not to do. And it can be easy enough to blow it off and not put much effort into really thinking about it. We as humans are pretty exceptional at doing that. But that doesn't stop the judgment that's quickly approaching. No matter what anyone thinks or does or says, God is an unstoppable force, and everything spoken about in Revelations, in Zephaniah, and the rest of the Bible will come to pass, whether anyone likes it or not. The great thing, though, which we've been able to see once again in all our readings and discussions, is that Yahweh actually wants us in his kingdom, which, when you really stop and think about it for a moment, is pretty incredible. He wants to help us to be in the kingdom, a kingdom of peace, perfectness, and love in serving God forever. He's actually offered to let us be in that for eternity, which makes our little lives of 70, 80, 90 years seem pretty petty, if we live that long even. All that being said, though, doesn't mean that the battle against the flesh is easy by any means. But realizing these things and keeping them in our mind should help us to see the grand scheme of things and the importance of listening to Yahweh and obeying him in this short lifetime. Not only so, but also allowing ourselves to be molded by him. That means that we cannot be prideful, but rather that we should be humble and as children. For all the young ones tonight, or this evening, I'm only 18 years old, soon to be 19, coming up pretty soon. By normal standards, that's the prime time of life. It's time to go out, be free, do what you want to do, sort of careless kind of age a lot of the time. But you get older and you realize that you could die any time. I got to thinking about it. It's like even if you live to be 90 years old, you're dead and gone when that day comes. So about a month ago, I had the privilege of visiting brothers and sisters in Wales, and had a great time over there, did a lot of sightseeing, and had a lot of good spiritual discussion with them. One of the things that happened while I was over there, though, was the passing away of Sister Vivian Ford. And I wasn't going to go into too great a detail in it, but I think I'd like to give a brief overview of what happened. I don't remember the date exactly, but I know it was on Thursday morning. We drove over to now the home of Stephen Ford, Brother Stephen Ford. And, went there for the funeral, and when the time came, three others and I sort of carted her, had the coffin on a little cart and rolled it out to where the burial site was. And Brother Phil was asked to give some words, and he also had the opportunity to preach the truth a little bit before we lowered her into the ground. So there was the four of us. We lowered her about 6 feet into the ground, and then people proceeded to walk by, kind of like we do a viewing here in the States. And I found it interesting, which isn't to take away from the sadness of the occasion at all, but as I stood there and I looked down at the coffin and realized the very next step for her, the very next thing she was waiting for was resurrection and judgment. So I got to thinking about how we scurry around in our lives doing this and that, traveling here and there, hopefully serving God. But ultimately, it comes down to that pit that God tells us about in the Scriptures. And it's easy to be distracted in our everyday lives. But we need to stop and think about these things and bring them to mind. Death is a sad thing, and it's pretty scary when we read about it, the fiery judgments of Yahweh. But it helps us when we remember that Yahweh is not a God of fear, but of loving kindness. A God of loving kindness who once again wants us to seek after Him. It's exactly like those here who have children. Yes, children make mistakes, and sometimes we get angry and upset, but we try to teach them what's right, and as long as they continue to grow, we care for them. And God does the exact same thing with us. Scriptures say that Yahweh is slow to anger, and aren't we the same with our children? We have to be patient with them, just as God is with us when we fall short and repent. And incidentally, this evening, Brother Dave Somerville mentioned that when he was learning, going through the process of becoming a teacher, one of the things was you have to give the children a chance to stop and think about what you're teaching them, so that not only the quick ones can answer and so on and so forth. And then Brother David Hughes gave his talk about faith and how important works are. And my mom came up to me afterwards and thought, or she told me, you know, I was thinking about you. I think we can all relate. You know, someone comes up to us and tells us that they're thinking about us, and you automatically get a little defensive at first. But the important thing is we need to realize that that is to help us. A lot of times children or others, you know, that you don't have to be a child for this, we can all feel judged a lot of times. And we have to stop and realize people are trying to help us when they come to us with concerns. So it may not always seem like it, but whenever my parents get on to me, I try to keep in mind that they're trying to show me the right way, trying to help me out. Anyways, as a concluding thought, it's not always easy to feel the reality of everything that we read in Scriptures. Many times we read the scriptures and we miss deep meanings that are embedded. But if we read and study and meditate and reflect on it, we'll find that we relate more and more to scriptures and become closer to them, and therefore closer to Yahweh. It's hard, but I hope that we might all meditate, stop and think about what we do in our daily lives, and try to reach that point where the truth moves us deeply, that we might try to keep it in remembrance. After all, we don't want to be found in the state of those prophesied about in Zephaniah and all the other prophets when Christ returns. So I thank you all for listening. I look forward to hearing further comments by other brethren for this book.